Because you don't like it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Tom, I'm pretty sure that we agreed that whatever my opinion was the general opinion of the group.
Pretty sure we never agreed that. I think the only thing we actually agreed on
now,
was
Tom,
that Jason's opinion didn't
I've
matter.
I've got it written.
Oh,
I've got it written right here that you would agree with me no matter what.
I'm going to say there was a an imposter.
A blood oath involved?
I agree. An imposter, Tom Hall, perhaps, did that. I would certainly never agree to such things.
Welcome to episode 129 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I've only beaten the Little Mermaid NES game a couple of times, and I'm the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I always prefer to be the fifth wheel.
My name is Jason Lamb, a resident Canadian, and at this very moment, I am also drafting my fantasy baseball team.
I am Tom Hall. I'm the N64 connoisseur. I am also a co-community manager, and I think paralegals should have to skydive into the courtroom.
Jeez, how many co-community managers does One More Castle need?
Apparently two.
So if you're like among truck drivers, do you joke about having to be the 19th wheel? 18 wheelers.
That's a good question.
Ooh, sorry. Wow. You know what?
I'm sure they've got.
I'm not going to try anymore. It's not worth it. Just tossing all the bad jokes out the window tonight. I see how it is. I guess I'll talk about something else. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, no. It's very, very sad.
I mean, if I can't make bad jokes, I mean, that's,
well,
like
that's
60% that's, of what I do.
Well, it's like, it's like your whole gimmick. Shot.
Well, it's a good thing
what
we have
to do?
Tom Hall here. Special guest.
Yeah. Hello.
For a special episode. Tonight we're doing Review a Great Game Day special edition podcast. Mostly
well,
just for
spoilers.
The showdown theme. Oh, shoot. Was I not supposed to say it already? Totally maybe lying.
Ha ha. Got you all.
Man.
So, Jason, how's Canada?
Yeah.
So it was raining and snowing at once today.
Oh, is it cool. Just Canada? I thought it was called O Canada. Is that not right? Like
oh,
apostrophe Canada.
Canada?
That's just the Irish Canada.
Oh, Canada. Get yourself a country.
Tom Hall, everybody. Taking my bad joke baton.
I'll show myself out.
No, it's okay. Everything I say tonight is ruining the episode entirely. So, spoiling things. Did you guys play any old video games this week? Let's try talking about
that. Ooh. Tom, you're new, right? Sort of?
I haven't guest hosted in a while. Like, I haven't guest hosted any episode that starts with 100. So it's been a while.
That is a while.
98.
That's over
half
a year.
That was the last time you saw me. Yeah. Anyhow.
Dang.
So, yeah, I played some oldies, some retro games, if you will, with the assistance of Mr. Chris Swartz, who you may or may not know as the author of the Raising a Gamer series, right here at OneMoreCastle.com. Cheap plug.
The thing he just wrote was one of the best things ever.
You know what it actually reminded me of? Remember back, probably really close to when we started the site, and Pierre wrote that piece on how having a child changed him as a
gamer?
Yes! It really reminded me of that piece. And another excellent piece of One More Castlery. So,
I'll have to go back and read Pierre's piece now, because that was years ago, literally. Yeah. I didn't have a kit back then. I haven't read it since I've had a kit. So.
But if you haven't checked
good
it out yet,
there,
he wrote a piece this week that Chris is actually expecting his second child here within a month. And he wrote a piece with some tips on how to game as a parent. And, you know, especially expecting your second child. How to keep your wife involved, how to keep maybe your first child involved, how to keep going, you know, once when the child is born and is quite new and fussy, and you have to stay up all night with said child. So it's a very, very, very good read. I recommend it. But back to the actual point of what I was saying, he assisted me in, how shall I say, getting my Nintendo Wii to realize its full potential as a gaming console. And so, I have access to play a lot of games on the Wii I did not have access to play before.
So, by legal means, correct?
Oh,
this is all completely certainly. Legit and legal?
Absolutely.
Good, good.
And so I'm playing Earthbound.
And wait, on the Wii?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
You know,
well, it's on the eShop, Hunter. What are you?
It's on, well, it's on the Wii U eShop.
It's on a shop. That is correct.
Semantics. Let's not split hairs. So I'm playing Earthbound. Well, actually, I played a couple of the norms you would have expected me to. You know, your Captain Skyhawks and your Bases Loaded 2s and all of that jazz. But Earthbound. There are games after you start getting into game reviews, start getting into, you know, any sort of gaming discussions regularly on the internet, you find games where you're just going to play them for the experience and you're not going to actually ever turn them into a review or a piece or anything because they're just an experience you should have. This is one of them. I'm only about an hour in at this point. I wanted to finish up a couple of other things I had hanging so I could devote my full attention to it. And
good call.
I'm going to say a statement I do not take lightly. There is only one other game in the history of games I have said this about, and it turned out not to be true about that one. We'll see about this one. It has an early chance of unseating Ocarina of Time at the top of the favorite game list.
Whoa, Tom. Wow. Tom, like, that's serious.
It's excellent. I'm already hooked into the story. I'm already attached to the characters. And I'm pretty sure I haven't met them all yet.
I really hope you see to it through to the end then.
I shall.
Yeah. Good. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, man. Because that's a game. When you discover it, it's a gem. I like how you worded it. Like, it's a game you play for the experience. Because there's no other game quite like it. Can you say that already after playing it for an hour?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there's already stuff in there. Just even in comparison to other RPGs on the Super Nintendo, the battle system is unique to... It's very similar, but it's just got this unique little flair to it. Just the attitude of the game, the charm of the characters. It's bright, it's colorful. It's like, I've already got a little sense of impending doom, and I don't quite understand what's going on yet. Letting it unfold before my eyes.
Oh, we've got to keep talking as you go through.
Certain
parts I want to hear your thoughts on. That's okay. So cool, Tom.
But, yeah, that's the old game I've been playing.
Excellent. Jason, sweet. You been playing anything?
No. So I've had a bit of a busy week. Because I have a million assignments due, because my life is hell. So I haven't really had a chance to play an old video game. Yeah.
Hunter, am I to guess that you may not have played a game this week either?
Really? Come on, man.
Come on.
Well, to kind of piggyback off of what Tom was talking about, I have also played some really terrible Super NES games. One of those being Firepower 2000.
Never heard of that.
Firepower 2000. There's a really good reason. Firepower 2000 is a vertical shooter, but you're a tank. So you've got like these massive missiles and like these crazy bombs you can throw and stuff. And, you know, as you're vertically moving, there are stations set up and you have to take out sensory guns and stuff like that. But for some reason, there are planes and helicopters that come flying at you. And you don't have to aim up or down. You just continue to shoot. And suddenly, your tank is on the same plane as the helicopters are. And you can knock them out.
Huh.
Like, it's such a weird depth perception. when I was playing this game, and I was like, oh wow, this game's a lot of fun. And then like the planes started coming, and I'm like, well, I don't have to do anything, I just gotta keep driving. And it was weird. I stopped playing it.
It's called Firepower 2000.
Firepower 2000. Yeah. Another weird game that I played was Porky Pig in a Haunted Holiday.
What are you doing?
Oh, Hunter just goes to his retro shop and he picks stuff out that has interesting labels.
No, I realized today, actually, because like I'm going through all my games. I'm like, okay, I've got to sell some of these. And I finally made it to my Super NES games. And I realized that with the exception of maybe one or two SNES titles, all of the games that I cherish and I love, I bought when they were originally released. Like, my SNES collection is complete for me. Like, I've got no qualms of what games I'm missing or what games I... But all the ones I bought when I was older are all the ones I'm like, these are god-awful terrible. Why did I buy these games?
Funny how that works. It's retro gaming in a nutshell right there. Oh, I loved that game when I was a kid. What is this crap? What is this? Yeah.
So, and you know, your barrage of crappy baseball games and flight simulators and... it's garbage.
Baseball flight simulators.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the
flying baseball simulators. Junior.
So, yeah, that's more bad games
simu
for me.
Ball base simu flight to laters.
1000.
AD.
What about you, Sir Eric of Bailey?
Quick apology, I did pull a Bailey this week, and I played the game. I'm going to bring it to the showdown, so I'm not going to mention it now. But there's one of those things where I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a great game, but I'm not 100% sure. Am I remembering it correctly? Because it's been a few months since I played it last. I played it just to make sure. It turns out it is. It's a great game. The other game I played, I've been on an old arcade-style game kick lately, so I played Rampage on NES.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's fun. It is... It's fun, and I know it's like endless and you just play for a high score, but man, just in what other game can you just like punch buildings until they're demolished? Like, that's literally the point of Rampage. Just go around eating people, blowing up military vehicles, and destroying entire cities across North America.
If only they had included all four characters.
Yeah, but given the limitations of the 8-bit era, it's a solid port, I must say. I would still say.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because the Sega Master System had all of the characters.
So. And so did the Commodore 64.
So really, it's just the Nintendo. Interesting.
So, and yet, Hunter, if one were to say that the mere inclusion of an additional character makes it better, then by that logic, Gambit should be a great addition.
Now, if you were to say that, like, Guy from Final Fight, which was excluded from the original SNES.
Look, I'm not saying the NES port is the best version of Rampage. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a fun game. Can you let me have that? Is that too much? I mean, we're not even in the showdown yet. You're already being kind of a prick.
No, it's a,
it's gone.
No, it's a really good game. It's a really good game.
Actually, the only other thing I really wanted to say about it, if you haven't played it, check it out, because it's one of the simplest games, not just in the theme. I mean, yeah, me punch building, you know, but just the control scheme, it does have the backwards B&A thing, but let's say you've never played a video game, this is one of the top games I would put down to try, because it's so intuitive. You walk back and forth. Oh, how do I climb up the building? I press up, you know, it's very simple.
It is a lot of fun. Rampage is a solid game.
Rampage on NES, and it's one of our giveaway games. So if you retweet that tweet, you have a chance to win that and All Pro Basketball.
Oh.
I will announce the winner after
NES Rampage
the
is great.
Email. So you still have like 10 minutes before I do the draw. If you want to go retweet that tweet now, at One More Castle, go to the feed, check it out. You might win. You might. So that's why I played Rampage and a mystery great game. Thank you.
speaking of banter, it is time for our listener email discussion question. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this might be the first non-gaming question we've had. Still very relevant, as audience is about to find out, but interesting, good question. And Tom, it's an appropriate question to have with you here as well, I feel.
Ooh.
So the, yeah, right? Question goes like this. Hi, Jason and Eric's.
And Tom.
I have a bit... Where'd that come from? Of an introspective and not necessarily video game question for you all. How has One More Castle changed your lives? Love the show. Keep up the great work. Paul Sharp.
Hmm.
Huh. Indeed, that's kind of...
It's a great question.
It's a serious question. Who's leaping at the chance to go first?
I'll do it.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's meant a lot of things. I'm about 2.5 years in to my castle tenure. But the biggest thing, I don't know if it's the biggest, but it's up there, is it actually gave me confidence as a content producer when I had none. You know, coming in... Nobody knew who I was, and still, maybe a small handful do, which is cool with me. But, you never know if you're any good until somebody else starts enjoying something you wrote. And even if it's just one person that's like, man, yeah, I agree, or this was well written, or I really enjoyed reading this. And then you're like, wow, okay. I can share my thoughts and my opinions with people, and they can enjoy it, and... I can start conversations and I can participate in the community. This is awesome. And that kind of led to the other thing it's done for me was introduce me to so many great gamers, great people in the community, great friends that people have turned into friends over time. And I mean, I would never, I would probably have stopped doing, gaming media entirely a long time ago without One More Castle.
Wow.
And so I wouldn't have met all these cool people. So it's done a lot of good for me.
Well said, Todd.
That was very well said.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
When you know you're not alone.
I think I've told my story about coming to One More Castle quite a few times, but it definitely became something more than I was expecting. With what you were saying, like meeting good people and having intelligent discussions for the most part about video games. And I never realized just how entrenched I was in like gaming specifically. Like I always enjoyed the medium and spent a lot of time reading about, writing about and playing, but never really got how much I actually retained. Like, I'm still surprised by the things that I remember in certain video games that I played decades ago, and I still have trouble remembering my own mother's birthday. But, that's neither here nor there. But no, it's true, because it kind of... the podcast kind of came at a point of my life where I was kind of stuck between, a rock and a hard place in terms of my future. And I was, working at a dead end job with aspirations of moving forward within the company, which didn't work out for the best, to say. And, it gave me time to really sit back and think about my future in terms of like, wow, I really do like doing this. And these people are really encouraging. And, the conversation that Bailey, you and I had at the Midwest Gaming Classic about the whole indie game thing that I'm really pushing, like I never would have came up with that, especially not the drive to do it, unless if we were at Midwest Gaming Classic and we were talking with people who were 15 to 20 years older than us about video games, and I kind of got that thought of like, oh, I still have time, I could still do this, so
yep.
I've loved this, everything about this, and when this comes to an end, it's going to be a tragedy because I'm going to kill every single one of you. But until that time actually happens, I mean, I've never been happier to say I am completely busy on a Thursday night. So
awkward.
I'll just edit that bit out. Nobody will be the wiser.
Or it's Jason.
Jason.
Oh boy. I sure as hell have learned a lot about retro games.
About this newfangled thing called video games that you
video
guys talk
games?
About.
What are those?
That's completely true. But on a more serious note, no, it's been. You know what? I never saw myself doing a podcast every week. Really, like it always was something that interested me. I never thought I had the opportunity. Never really thought I'd be writing for a website. Did it led to that? It was great. I've done some editing for you guys. It led to some paid work with Geek Magazine when they're still in existence. No, it's been great. Like Hunter said, it's a great way to spend my Thursday nights.
Duh.
Cool.
Duh. Good stuff.
Hard to encapsulate, like, in a little podcast blurb, because there's a lot of people involved now, and there's been years into this? Like, geez. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there, but the podcast is a big part of it. Like, I consider you guys friends. We hang out every week. Like, geez. Like, yeah. I have real life friends, don't get me wrong, but I don't have like a standing date with them every Wednesday night. Like, it's not every other Monday, maybe. But yeah, how has it changed my life? One More Castle has obliterated my time. Like, every day, I have to put up an article. Like, I'm writing for the stupid site again, like, constantly getting emails. Like, I don't know what I would do with my time if it weren't for this site. Like, work on my marriage or my fathering or something. I don't know.
Those things sound boring.
Yeah, that's a terrible issue.
Yeah, right?
Spend more time.
It's so hard.
The castle.
So I'm glad that I have a lot of fun with the site. For me, it's been... I can echo the confidence boost thing, because I went through a year of being unemployed. I went through just stuff, but like founding a website and editing and being involved in talent acquisition and whatever the opposite of acquisition is, and being releasing? Involved in tough conversations, productive conversations. Yeah, kicking people out, meeting really cool people. It's just been fun. I don't know. In a strange way, I can't make it any simpler than that or more profound. I think it's just been fun. That's how it's changed my life. It's a whole castle full of fun.
Hmm.
It's been awesome.
It's like a bouncy castle. Damn it, Tom.
We spend too much time together.
Far too much time.
One more bouncy castle. Yeah, but it's surreal. Like, just like, because it's my site, not to get all weird for a moment about like self, but yeah, it's my website. Like, I founded this. Like, there's people who like it. I started it. It's really cool. Like, you guys are here because of me, suckers. Like, I don't know what to do with that. So that's our listener email discussion question. Forgive us for getting super deep about our own website for a few minutes there, but yeah, thanks, Paul Sharp. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Ask us again in another 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
When they're all dead.
Yeah. After Hunter's killed us.
When
ask him. Write him a letter. Write him a letter in prison. Be like, hey.
Yeah.
How did it work out for you?
Wow, you were serious, weren't you? To let you guys get adequately prepared for the beatdown you're going to endure, we should probably take a music break.
Yeah, you slow. Come on, Earl. Get in the elevator.
I want to beat Toe Jam sometime.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Yeah. You ready, big girl?
Yeah, I'm ready, Toe Jam.
All right, let's do this.
Come on.
My name is Toe Jam.
And I'm Big Earl.
Mm-hmm. We come from outer space. Whoa. Oh, oh. We crashed down on this planet. It was an accident. This is a crazy place. Hey, hey.
Tell them Toe Jam.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Get funky.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Funky down and funky dry. These crazy earthlings stressing out. This crazy world is upside down. You know that little funky sound is all we need here.
Some bass, Biggie. Maybe that's all they need. Gotta get in that funk. Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's all they need.
Slap that bass. Get in that funk. Oh, maybe that's all they need. Gotta get in that funk. Biggie, tell them.
Feel the funk.
Maybe that's all they need.
My name is Toe Jam.
And I'm Big Earl.
Mm-hmm. We got a message to give to you. Well, well, we coming at you from Funkatron.
Funkatron.
And you need to chill it out. Let me talk to him.
Tell him.
Look, T-O to the E, jamming on the beat. And now with Big Earl, make him stay.
And we're back. That was Back in the Groove by Toe Jam and Earl. It's actually the track that they released as a promo for the Toe Jam and Earl Kickstarter, which recently hit its goal. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get a new Toe Jam and Earl game.
Oh, yeah.
So if you like your tunes funky and your heroes alien, consider checking it out. Speaking of groovy tunes and aliens... it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, this is pretty much the best part of our show. Each of us hosts has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice. And then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode pretty much arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the four on a poll on the podcast episode page when it goes up on onemorecastle.com Monday morning. Every week, Monday morning. This week is an extra special edition because, first of all, Tom Hall's here. That's always special. He is special. Everyone says, oh, he's special. You know, special guy.
Probably do.
Yeah. it's additionally special because he's not substituting for anyone. We're going for a monster four-headed showdown here. This is going to be chaotic, crazy. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But last and not least, we're switching up the theme from what we said last week. So if you're looking forward to that, too bad. We'll do it next week. We're going to go ahead and highlight great games just to kind of get the name out there for Review a Great Game Day. It's coming up April 8th. You still have a couple weeks if you need to start writing your review, pick a game. We know it's tough, but please join us April 8th for Review a Great Game Day. It does have an official website, reviewagreatgameday.com. It's live now. You can learn more. You just can't submit your reviews yet. But by all means, pick your game, start writing, start editing your video, start sending your smoke signals. However you review games, just pick a game you like. It's a day all about positivity and joy and it's a good thing. So, just to catch up a little bit on business, 2 weeks ago our theme was games without rings or gems or coins or stars, and
yeah,
Jason obliterated us.
Yes.
The voters showed up, and Jason is now on a roll. With his little Katamari game. Yeah,
I love Katamari.
I'm on a new streak.
What can
of
I say?
One I voted for.
The past 3 weeks, I've gotten 2 votes for my choices total. It's a sad time in Baileyville because Family Feud on Super Nintendo only got 1 vote. Hunter picked Metroid 2 for Game Boy and only got 5 votes, but Jason got a dozen, so he took it.
Wow.
So, whatever. We're going to move on.
Family Feud was fun.
I know. I couldn't believe I only got one vote. But it was up against Metroid 2.
You know what it is? It's typing on the NES was hard.
True. Yeah. But I picked the Super.
Some people didn't want to put the effort in.
Yeah, some people.
It's worth it, though. So worth it.
But tonight's theme is Review a Great Game Day. So we all picked great games. So if you're tired of the past few weeks where some of us may have brought games like X-Men on the NES, you know. if you're tired of a crappy game showdown, which can be fun. Like, there's people that like that. But if you're ready for, like, us to pick five-star games and really have a good debate about it, tonight's the night. I have a good feeling. So hope you guys brought your A game, because I'm not pulling any punches tonight. Screw you guys. I'm going home. I'm going for it. So, Jason, if you have 1 minute on the clock for me.
Oh, I do. Are you ready?
Actually, you know what? Give me 8 seconds.
All right.
Are you going to ride a bull?
Not tonight, but okay. I am ready.
All right, you may begin.
This game has everything. Graphically, it was one of the best of its era. It might actually have the best graphics on the console. It looks as good as games made a whole console generation later. The soundtrack is amazing. I can hear it in my head now. It's earworm worthy. It'll get stuck in your head. It's delightful. From the sound effects to the music, it's just addicting and whimsical and beautiful. The gameplay is top-notch. This game is designed so tightly, I question how they could make it so good. There are a few games I've sat down and from beginning to end just felt top-notch, top-shelf, triple-A, wonderful. This game has few flaws. It's awesome. It was released in 1995, in October, in fact, for the Super Nintendo. It's Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island.
Wow. All right. Hunter.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yep.
You may begin.
It's September 1990. One of the crowning achievements in video game history was about to be ported to the Nintendo Entertainment System. Developed by two crazy jackasses who decided that they wanted to make a game just for them, became a monster hit, not only on that console, but also the PC, the Commodore 64, and I think it's even on like iOS and stuff now. No, Apple II, IBM PC, whatever. it was a scum of sorts, allowing friends to go into a haunted mansion controlled by an evil scientist with a super strange family, Maniac Mansion for the NES.
All right. Ooh. All right.
Groundbreaking stuff.
Damn. Is it my turn or is it Tom's?
It is.
It would be yours, I guess.
All right. I guess I'll begin. After your son cleans up your mess and arranges the cosmos back in their proper order, you are very surprised of the fact that, damn, the game was successful. We better go and greet our fans on the planet Earth. In the meantime, you'll tell a origin story, how you met your wife and had your son. And perhaps both you and I can learn why exactly we love Katamari. That's We Love Katamari for the PlayStation 2.
Wow.
All right, Tom, are you ready?
Oh, man. Has anyone ever?
You may begin.
All right. The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time is a great game that I didn't bring to the showdown this week. Instead, taking a page out of the book of Rowdy Roddy Piper, who said, just when you think you have all of the answers, I change the questions. I'm bringing Star Fox 64. Ooh. A title that introduced a peripheral that would change the very face of gaming to this day. A game that is by far the best entry in the series. far better than the games that came after it. Yes, I beg you this week to join me in a barrel roll, ignore the toad, and just engage in the all-awesome fun of Star Fox 64.
God damn it.
All right. Nice. Wow. Nice. Where to begin?
Ooh. Where to begin, indeed.
Jason, you don't have the name power. You are screwed this week. You have no chance.
Don't I?
No chance.
Don't I?
You know what? No, he's definitely got a chance.
Yeah, I'm thinking Hunter's at the disadvantage.
Bailey, I've got to tell you.
Ooh. I think you're underestimating Maniac Mansion's popularity.
This is episode 129, is it not?
Yeah. It is.
Have you not yet learned not to underestimate Mr. Lamb?
He didn't realize he was going to win last week by such a huge margin. You're right. Don't get me wrong. There's been a couple weeks he's won. I'm like, what is he like holding people at gunpoint? Like, vote for my game. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But
Katamari, man.
Yeah. I think people vote for Jason. They don't vote for his game. They just vote for Jason. That's my theory.
What?
No.
You said it yourself. You don't play video games.
See, as Jonathan Higgins says, I love Jason Lamb.
Exactly! That supports my point. He's just like, oh, that Jason
and listen,
Lamb, he's adorable, the way he tries to talk about video games.
To clear something up for Aaron in the chat, I didn't bring the same game twice. I brought the sequel to the original Katamari game.
Yeah, you made that very clear with your intro. Thank you, Lamb. Yes.
Yeah. We love Katamari.
Claire.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
So, wait, which version of Maniac Mansion did you bring? Like, which port?
Oh, the NES.
Oh. I'm supposed to say bad things about it, huh?
I mean, if you want to talk about one of the most revolutionizing game mechanics ever, which was the cutscene, Maniac Mansion was the first game.
You know,
to have an official cutscene.
We do value honesty on this podcast, do we not?
Yeah, we very much so.
Not during the Retro Showdown.
I hate point-and-click games.
Especially on the NES.
You hate what?
That's the thrust we're going to use tonight.
However,
you don't have a mouse. It sucks.
There's one exception to my hating of point-and-clicks.
Oh, you're not
and
about,
Hunter
oh, are you serious?
Friggin' brought it.
Jeez.
Yep.
Hunter, I want to clarify.
The music.
Can I clarify something? You said the first game with a cutscene?
Okay, so I know you're going to mention Pac-Man as being there being a cutscene within the game. And there's not, because it doesn't push the story forward. Whereas in Maniac Mansion, use those cutscenes to help push the story, the character development, and the plot points. It was the first time that I'd ever seen in a video game. Still used today, unlike the Rumble Pack. Nobody uses the Rumble Pack anymore.
It's not about the Rumble Pack itself.
Okay.
It's about how Rumble became an expected mechanic from that day forward.
Oh, it's only... Oh, it only... Wow, okay. No, actually, Hunter, you got me. I thought Ninja Gaiden came out first. They are 1 month apart. Maniac Mansion beats it. Holy crap.
Oh, man. We're running out of ammo here.
That's a good piece of retro gaming trivia right there. Huh.
Stupid tentacle.
I really thought... Damn. Wow. Okay. 1 month. Dang. Got me there. It's a shame it's a point-and-click game for the NES. I mean, even the Super Nintendo or the Sega Genesis had mice. NES, no.
Is it really?
I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there.
No, okay.
Maniac Mansion. Overrated. Boom.
What?
Okay. he's just happy about my game. Now, I am with you when it comes to point-and-click games on a console, but the way that the flow of Maniac Mansion, there's never a point in the game where I felt, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss whatever this action is because I can't move the cursor that fast. Like, I've never had that issue playing this game. Now, on other point-and-click games for consoles, I had, you know, because a lot of them are, like, time-based or they're time-based. That sounds like I said that already. But with Maniac Mansion, the flow of the entire game is completely up to you. You know, like,
that's
there's sure there's like little glitches and stuff. Like when you walk into the kitchen and Edna's there, like if you can switch kids really quick, then it, she glitches out of the kitchen and you can keep walking. But that's either way, if you get caught, I mean, it's not like you can't get out, you know, like the game is was so well designed that it actually was able to fix itself by simply allowing the player to justify how fast that they want to move.
You can kind of microwave a hamster.
You can totally microwave a hamster.
There's no kind of about it. There's no
So actually, Hunter's game promotes animal cruelty, and you shouldn't vote for it.
Wow.
That's true.
Absolutely. Only, and this is a big only, if by showing that microwave hamster back to its owner ultimately gets you killed, a tombstone in the front yard, and you become a ghost, totally worth it. I'd microwave hamsters from here till whatever ends.
A vote for Maniac Mansion is a vote for animal cruelty. Just remember that, listeners.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody likes pita anyway. Come on.
I don't know. It could be a very delicious lunch option.
I mean, you've got... that's pita bread. That's a little...
Oh.
Okay, I see what you did there.
Good. Well, wait. Peter who?
No, we're good. What? Peter Cottontail? Peter Pan?
Peter Cottontail?
Peter
Molyneux? A rabbit you also advise violence against?
Well, I mean, there is a chainsaw within the game.
That you can use to hack up animals.
But no gasoline. So
uh-oh.
Can't actually use the chainsaw. So
yeah. I mean...
Jason, nobody likes your game.
Well,
no.
Everyone loves my
no
game.
No one does. I don't.
No, Jason. You get to roll over stuff.
But if you were really honest, you don't even like
I've done that already.
No, I love it.
Okay, so there's been a number of times in my life, just driving down the road, that I've seen people picking up trash, and none of them look happy about it. Mm-mm. Like I.
Nope. And they're rolling it, too. Like, that's part of it.
That's just... Trash pickup simulator is what you brought.
No, it's collecting everything in the world. You end up collecting planets and stuff.
I don't want to collect planets. Who am I, Galactus?
Listen, why don't you love Katamari? We love Katamari.
We who? You
why don't you?
In your pocket?
Maybe.
A moose, maybe? You have a moose in your pocket?
A moose?
Because you're in Canada.
Yeah.
So what happened with Star Fox 64?
What do you mean? Like, what
so
happened?
The game was, I mean, obviously, hands down, it's a great game, right? It was a great building block off of the franchise. And then it kind of just went downhill after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a
Star Fox Adventures, because it wasn't supposed to be a Star Fox
game. It's
a great
one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
And then,
Then they remade it on the DS, right? The 64?
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't a terrible port. The problem... was it wasn't as good a job as they did with Ocarina of Time when they ported it.
Mm.
And so it is not as highly revered, but I actually do have it, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's Star Fox 64. The other thing they did with it on the 3DS was they gave you the option to use the 3DS as the controller, like with gyro, whatnot.
It's terrible.
But they were smart about it, and they also gave you the option to use the original controls.
Mm.
So you aren't, it's not forced on you, because gyro, whatever, it's garbage. I hate it. It's not for me. It's for kids.
I will say that the Star Fox 64 multiplayer was the biggest letdown growing up. Like, I wanted that to be so good, and those multiplayer maps were so big, it should have been like 10 on 10 and not just 4, you know.
See, now that's more interesting. I never really got to play multiplayer stuff a lot growing up. I didn't have a lot of gamer friends. My sister wasn't really into it. You know, that was about the point where, you know, my dad kind of peaced out. He wasn't a huge fan of the thumbstick, and that was the end of gaming for him.
Wait, he didn't like the N64 controller?
He doesn't like anything with a thumbstick, even today. He will not touch anything that has a thumbstick on it.
That's weird.
Yeah, he hates it. So.
Atari 2600, out the window!
No, that's not a thumbstick. That's a joystick. That's
no,
that
is a joystick.
Cool yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally different.
I put my thumb on it.
So I had to play Star Fox on my
own. Oh, that's just Jason.
Jason Tiny Thumbs Lamb.
Whoa.
I didn't give you the nickname. I wasn't even here that episode.
He needs tiny thumbs so he could roll up all these terrible ideas that they've already decided to start rehashing. I mean, yeah. It's just...
What?
Yeah.
No, it's not rehashing. It's delicious self-referential fancy.
It's a rehash.
Garbage pickup
simulator. I put Katamari Damacy in the exact same category as I would The Breakfast Club. There's a reason there should only be one, because you've only got one shot to get it right, and they got it right, and they should have just moved on. But no, they had to make more, because all of a sudden it's dollar signs. It's not just about making a great game
cash
with
cow.
A great gaming experience and a kind of a high five and a pat on the back to the people who've funded your company for years with all the shitty games you keep pushing out. No, no. It's a, here you are, we thank you, it's only $20. Oh, you really like this? Well, here's 1,000 more, because we know you idiots will just keep on buying it.
So it was like like Police Academy.
Well,
so Hunter,
yeah,
it's interesting you mentioned that, because I agree with you fully, and yet, at least me and Tom have something in common with our games that you and Jason do not.
They're actually good.
That's the big one. Also, me and Tom actually like our games enough to have written about them on the site.
Yep. Star Fox 64 was actually my Review a Great Game Day entry last year, or no, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you want me to write about?
It's Maniac most Manson? Good.
I would love you to. It'd be nice, but it's not necessary. It's just
here's a bit of One More Castle.
I'm sure there's like
One More Castle trivia.
Already 1,000.
If you'll remember, Mr. Hunter, your Review a Bad Game Day last year entry was also based off of the podcast when I guest hosted and brought Conker's Bad Fur Day, and you decided you hated it so much you would write a review, a Bad Game Day review about it.
It's true.
Good call. I'm always glad to see that game get hate, because a lot of people love it. I don't mind it, but it's like, geez, it's not that good.
That's how I feel about GoldenEye.
I really did not enjoy it.
I feel the same
way
about
GoldenEye.
Like, I might
have when I was 14 years old, but man, it's just... I am not that person anymore, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you not?
Everyone has that friend whose favorite game is Conker's, and you're like, you.
Silly you.
Silly you.
I could still
do it. Yeah, Yoshi's Island. It's platforming perfection.
Nobody cares, Bailey.
Yeah.
I know, because you got...
Yeah, that's what I'm...
Such can't a, critique it.
That's such a boring
it.
Pick.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
How so?
Oh, I'll bring Mario.
Oh, baby.
It's not Mario.
Wow.
It's a Yoshi game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's super duper annoying.
Every once in a while.
Like, the worst.
You brought...
That cry makes me want to rip my
eyes
out.
The game. It's supposed to. That's effective game design. It compels you to rescue him as quickly as possible. Yes,
you brought a multi-level escort mission.
Yeah, but when he's strapped to your back, it's not really escort. He doesn't get in your way. He's not like he's straddling behind, like, ooh, I'm slower. You know, it's like Luke Skywalker with
Yoda. Definitely
gets
in
it's the way. Same relationship. It makes you stronger.
No. No. Yoda added something to the equation.
Yeah.
So does
Baby
Mario.
Mario's just a baby.
Just ups the
he's
stakes.
An annoying
yeah,
baby.
Because
he's
you have to stop to change his diapers. Then one night he gets colic.
Yeah, but okay. Okay. I love Star Wars, but Luke Skywalker cannot eat things that are 3 feet away and turn them into eggs, which he can then throw as projectile weapons.
Oh, Yoshi himself is fine.
But that's what the game's all about.
But
you should like it.
No, but it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's a great game.
Mm.
And if you don't think so, I'm not. Do you act, Tom, honestly? Do you really think it's a bad game?
Do I really? Like, wait, I feel like I'm walking into a trap.
There's no metagaming during the Retro Showdown.
I think we can all agree that with the exception of Jason, we have brought enjoyable games.
Whoa.
What? Oh, he's right there.
Okay, okay. I can agree to that. I can agree to that.
No, my game's great.
Why,
screw
Jason?
You guys.
It's the exact same thing.
I get to roll stuff up. Yes, Star Fox is another Star Fox game. Mario's another Mario game. Really, the only person who brought something worth of note is Hunter, because he brought a game early in the history of
Star Fox is the second Star Fox game, and perhaps the most perfect.
And my game
third,
is the
if you cancel
Yoshi
the
game.
Count the canceled one,
but you don't because it was canceled. You see how that works?
Right,
for good reason.
Diptard. Jeez. Whoa. While we're having moments of brutal honesty, I had to close the live stream, like the chat, because Jason already has like 3 votes. I was like, I'm pissed. And they're like, well, I'm going to vote for Jason. Well, I'm going to be a hipster. I'm going to be a this. I'm going to be a contrarian. I think it would be the cool thing to do. Katamari's got my vote.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I still feel like Yoshi's Island was such a cop-out when I was a kid.
Oh, I know. I want to hear this.
A new Super Mario World? I want a new Super Mario World. Oh, it's Yoshi's Island?
Oh, we're going to travel down the Yoshi's Island isn't a real sequel to Super Mario World road.
It's not. It's a completely different game. If anything, it's a prequel.
Okay.
Of sorts.
I have one question.
That's like,
whenever
that's like advertising like free Budweiser beers water.
No, it's not. No. I've had this debate so many times. I've boiled it down to one question. I have one question for you, Hunter. One question. If it were called Turdy Lump.
Super Turdy Lump.
Are you really saying it would be a bad game?
Yeah.
No!
And I can justify that with Star Fox Adventures for the GameCube. The only reason that Star Fox is even in that game is because they thought it wouldn't sell because it didn't have a named franchise on it. And guess what? The game is still terrible, even with Fox McCloud.
But the name doesn't matter. It doesn't change the game one bit. Like, it's... Oh, Yoshi's Island is
no, but it does change the people's perceptions of who buy it under false pretenses.
Oh. Yeah, it makes you disappointed. That's all it did. You're sitting there like, oh, all I care about is the name.
Because the game was bad, and it wasn't Super Mario World 2.
But it's kind of like my Super Mario 2 and Zelda 2 argument, that they're not bad games, they're bad games within their own franchise.
They're not bad. No.
Exactly.
Yoshi's Island's not even that. It's not a bad
game
by any measure. It'd be like sitting...
Hunter's argument.
It'd be like sitting down to play Tetris... but then playing Resident Evil 2 instead and realizing this is an awesome game, but because it's not called Tetris, I'm going to choose not to like it. What? Garbage.
I get it. I get it. I mean, you know, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. I get it. But being able to manufacture something that you know was not 100%, and having to resort to putting a big franchise name on it to get it in front of store shelves and in front of people's eyes, I mean, those are calculated events. That's just not something that they were like, hey, we're going to make a new Super Mario World game, but we really want it to be focused on Yoshi. No, they started with the Yoshi game. It was incomplete, so they put Super Mario World 2 on it. It's just not in video games. You see that in movies and books and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's people buy based on what they recognize. And Bailey's gone again.
Because he doesn't have an argument. Super Mario
he's here. Okay, whatever. Sorry.
Yes, sir.
But Yoshi Word Island is a piece of crap. And you know, like,
no!
It's another freaking rehash.
It's not. It's so original.
Now, if you were to find a game that completely 100. Pushed the limits of the Super NES, it was definitely Yoshi's Island. But by calling it a Super Mario World 2, I mean,
that's
too much, man.
Yeah.
Star Fox.
Yeah.
Tom, you brought the game that killed the series.
No. Star Fox Adventures killed the series.
No.
Because it wasn't as good as Star Fox.
Yoshi's Island is a
because it wasn't really a Star Fox sense. Game.
Yeah. Name one game before Yoshi's Island that had that kind of projectile mechanic where you would hit the button and would let you aim within the arc like to such a fine degree of precision.
Abuse.
What?
Abuse. 96.
Okay.
February.
So that's a year later.
Okay. That's a really good game. You should have brought that.
It's got a point.
Off the top of my head, I cannot think of one.
But to say it's a rehash doesn't make
sense. Is that how you're selling the game, though?
That it has.
You can
really,
aim eggs.
Yeah, it has really precise controls.
And that's how you're selling me the game.
Yeah.
Just well, with the aiming mechanic that Yoshi's Island has.
Jason, you have to understand, people who actually play video games appreciate things like precise control. You wouldn't understand.
Now, see, I'm the one who plays games that need a mouse on a computer, unlike Hunter, who brings mouse-based games for a console.
Yeah, I don't understand what he's on. Hunter's in a whole different universe than the rest of us right now.
Guys, let's just get together, sit down for some co-op Katamari, and just
work on that. Why is there a co-op Katamari?
That one is a co-op game.
If there's ever been a game that didn't need co-op, it's Katamari. That game doesn't make any sense for co-op. It's so stupid.
You race to see who collects
by
more.
Co-op Katamari?
I know what you do.
Star Fox 64.
I know
would
what
co-op
you do.
So what you're saying is, we're going to get together, and we're going to get those trash bags and the pointy sticks, and we're just going to go poke trash on the side of the road and see who can collect the most.
You got to be sure you wear your caution yellow jumpsuit
or else somebody
won't be able to see you.
I'm going to pull the trash bag over your head and stab you in the face with a stick until you die. That's my plan.
Wow. So then that's also, two of you homicidal over there?
Right. Tom Hall.
Yes.
Tom Hall. Can I call you Tom Hall?
I mean, you just did like
17
times.
I consider you my
time.
Only... You're my only competition this week, because Star Fox 64 is fun. But it is such a limited experience. Like, you can sit down and play through the whole thing, 45 minutes, you're done.
But you're not done.
Yoshi's Island is a commitment.
You're not done, because there's so many branching arcs. You can play this game in so many different ways.
Okay, tell me about the password system or the saved game function for Star Fox 64. How good is it?
Non-existent.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Arcade style, man.
Boom.
I did just
sit down and play.
Advocate for
you
arcade
said,
style earlier.
You can play through.
But I like save games even better. Because Yoshi's Island has like dozens of levels, and you don't have to play through them all.
Right, because you're going to get tired pretty quickly of escort mission after escort mission, and so you're going to want to take a break and come back to it later.
They're only
Escort babysitting
simulator.
Hey.
Super Mario World 3.
You know what? You know what? I like babies.
Babysitters Club 7.
So,
Yoshi's Island.
Perfect. Go for it.
I'll play it.
Babysitters Club. That's funny, Jason. All right. Gosh. You guys really don't like Yoshi's Island? Oh, you guys are morons.
We can't answer honestly until later. You know how this works.
Dumber than a... Well, then I could make fun of you. However, I mean, dumber than a box of rocks. What can I say? As the shopkeeper says in Super Mario RPG, if you enter the shop during the rainstorm while Mallow is crying, it's raining hammer handles and pitchforks out there.
It's not enough to talk to every character
in the RPG twice and talk to all of them during every environmental change to see if their dialogue changes too. That's true completism. Speaking of completism... It's time for the final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for a game designed for mice that didn't come with any?
Well, if you got cheese, I mean, cheese are attracted to mice. So. No, Maniac Mansion for the
cheese
NES.
Attracted to mice.
Yes, not the other way around. Keep that in mind.
got it.
Maniac Mansion is definitely a video game that I will always cherish. For having played it. I can't tell you the amount of hours that I have taken to just to explore every possibility. The game seems so open to anything that you'd want to do. I mean, it's not, but it's just a very cool story, amazing music, multiple ways to win, combinations of different characters, cutscenes for the first time. I could go on and on, and I might. I might.
Nice. You might. Jason! Why should anyone vote for one of the most unnecessary games of all time?
Ooh. Well, one, it's Katamari. Two, it's the sequel, so thus there is more Katamari. Three, it's not a mouse game. Four, it's not a Babysitter Club. Five, it's not a game whose selling point is repackaging a a force feedback technology from the 70s. And finally, eight. It's Katamari.
Wait, did the Rumble Pack, did it come with batteries when it was released with the 64?
Yes.
Okay, I thought it did, but I was...
Sorry. You sure about that?
Well, it did with Star Fox.
Yeah.
Which is how I got mine.
I'm sure it did.
I don't know if it did after that. Like, if you bought one off the shelf, it may or may not have.
Okay. I think it did. I'm sure it did.
Tom Hall! Why should anyone vote for a pretty sweet game?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty sweet game. So there's that. It's got that going for it.
Well, I'm sold.
Featured some awesome aerial dogfighting. A lot of your favorite characters that you first fell in love with on the Super Nintendo were now voiced, brought to amazing, stunning, at the time, reality. And, you know, it was fun and all that. So, it also introduced Rumble. Not Soundwave's cartridge. Actually, cassette, I should say. Actually rumbling, as in vibrations in your hand.
Okay.
Star Fox! 64! It's a song I wrote about it. That's how good it is.
That's a pretty good song, too.
Yeah.
Man, got my vote. I'm voting for Tom Hall.
Thanks.
Tom Hall, 2015. You should vote for my game, Yoshi's Island, because it's a masterpiece.
No, Super Mario World 2.
And Yoshi's that's Island. Our showdown. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I do want to take a moment to give a special shout out for those who joined us for the live stream. Just a reminder, we do the live stream every Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And tonight we had people commenting, people watching. I want to thank Daniel Lamplu, Mega Silver X, Valerie Minnick, I guess Jason Lamb, Jonathan Higgins, Christopher Swartz, Aaron Alcorn. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Edward Varnell. I knew he was there. Thank you guys so much for commenting. We had some people watching, not commenting. Thank you, too. I mean, if you don't have to talk, you can just watch. It's fine. Of course. So please feel free to join us. We always have a good time on the live stream. But obviously, we release new episodes Monday mornings as well. And by the way, if you want to be one of those people whose email we read on the show, shoot us an email, podcast@onemorecastle.com. Just send us a question or a thought. We'll discuss it. Tom Hall, since you're the special guest, do you have any special plugs or things you'd like to say about yourself?
Oh, yes. You can follow me on Twitter @OcarinaOfTom. I do contribute here at onemorecastle.com biweekly as the N64 connoisseur. I have two other podcasts, one with that handsome devil over there, Eric Hunter, called Breaking Bits. You can find it at IamEricM.com. And my own solo podcast called The Hallway, which you can check out every Wednesday at thomas-hall.com, which is my personal website.
All those things are true.
Yeah.
Cool. Hunter, how would you know? Tell us about yourself.
You can also follow me on Twitter @EricHunter. For me, all around the internet, you can check out ericmhunter.net. And Tom was correct. We do a podcast. It's bi-monthly.
Bi-weekly.
Called Breaking Bits. Bi-monthly.
Bi-weekly.
Which means we do it twice a week.
No, means we do it every other
week. Bi-monthly means we do it twice a month.
Doesn't bi-monthly mean
is
we do
it right?
Every other month?
I don't think so.
I think so.
Bye.
Bailey, judge's ruling.
So Jason Lamb, what would you like to tell people about?
Okay, bi-monthly, occurring or produced twice a month or every 2 months.
Oh.
So it could be in either.
Oh, great.
You can interpret it either as a double meaning, as a bi meaning, if you will.
Fantastic.
Ooh. Figured it out. Jason.
Yes.
Lamb us.
With your Lamingtons.
You can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb. And if you want, I'll send you a great recipe for zucchini frittatas.
Well.
And that's my bit.
That's legit.
I'm glad we're having so much fun. hope the viewers find that funny too. My name's Eric Bailey. You can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_Legend. Some jerk took Nintendo Legend. I think he's dead now.
Yeah, he had
but
one tweet.
I should probably contact Twitter about that sometime, but we'll get there. My personal website is NintendoLegend.com. It's on hiatus, so instead you should go to ReviewAGreatGameDay.com. April 8th is the big day! You can submit your review April 7th. They'll all go live April 8th. It's an annual gaming holiday. It's not our first time doing it. It's always a lot of fun. I encourage you, even if you don't write a review or do a video, just check them out. There's always great stuff. It's a great way to meet new reviewers. You don't have to read them all. Like, it's cool. It's this whole, like, grid of reviews. Just pick and choose the ones you're interested in. It's, like, you guys don't understand. There's no reason not to participate. It's just everyone promotes it. Thus, we all promote each other. It's really a good collaborative pump up your jam kind of thing. So, ReviewAGreatGameDay.com, April 8th. That's the thing I wanted to remind you of. I do have one other reminder, though. You are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.